a person that's been saved, but he never really learned the scripture. In fact, he never really applied himself to learn and to practice and to put into practice what he had learned. So he still remains carnal. But then there's one that the Bible refers to as being the spiritual man. Now understand that when I say spiritual, we're not talking about somebody that is totally perfect. Because I've told you time and time again, there's nobody that's walking on the face of the earth today that's totally perfect. The only perfect one that ever lived was the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins. But yet today, I'm not saying we have to be perfect, but as a spiritual person, we're a person that have learned the Word of God. Now, Paul was dealing with some people in these passages of Scripture, and like I say, we don't have time to read all of them, but he condemned them for being spiritual or acting spiritual when they weren't spiritual at all. He desired for them to have real spirituality. Friend, today it's not a matter of what we put on or what we say, it's a matter of what we do. The word spiritual means pertaining to the Spirit. That implies that the person, to be spiritual, he must be filled with the Spirit, he must be taught by the Spirit, he must be led by the Spirit of God in all that he does. In Galatians 5:25, he said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so if we're living in the Spirit, we should be walking in the Spirit. However, there was a problem here with many people that was putting on a show, or they were putting on things to make it look like that they were spiritual, when in all reality, Paul knew, as well as God knew, that they were not spiritual. Now this morning, I'm not here to judge, and I surely am not here to determine who is spiritual and who is not. I believe you can often tell by their fruit. But I'm here today to tell you there's a desire, or should be a desire, to live and lead a spiritual life. And I want to give you five things this morning that I hope will help you to understand the truth of what I'm talking about today. First of all, true spirituality is living for the Savior. True spirituality is living for the Savior. I think this morning there's nothing in my mind that should be exalted apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm grateful. Yesterday we had the wedding here, and somebody mentioned to me this morning, and I agree, we had the wedding. It was very good, and somebody mentioned to me how it was very, you know, it was glorifying to the Lord, and I hope that it was. Surely if I have a part in it, I want it to be. But truly the song that was sung and the various things that was done wanted to bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, somebody once said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I believe today that many of us are living in ways that is really not the way that Christ would have us to live. I find also that Paul said in Philippians 1:21, here's what he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, if I'm saved, if I'm a Christian, it ought not be, well, I'm a Christian because I go to church. It ought not be a Christian because I have my Bible and I read it once a week. It ought not to be because I'm this or I'm that. It ought to be because Christ indwells us and we live it every day that we live. We exemplify it to the people that we run into, and there's no doubt in their mind that we know Christ. The man who lives for Christ has everything to live for. I'll tell you today, people get depressed, and I realize it happens, and there's so much suicide today, even among young people. But I'm telling you today, the hope of the world is Jesus, and that's the only hope that we have. And friend, you can try to find happiness in everything there is to find happiness in, but only Jesus will satisfy your soul. Only He can make you whole. Let me ask you the question this morning. Are you living for money and possessions? Are you living for money and possessions? You know, today, and again, I'm not beefing it up about the fact that I understand people need to work. We have to work. And I tell you, you have to work hard today. The inflation and the cost of living is great. But can I tell you today, is your life so wrapped up in making money and the possessions that you have? Let me ask you this. What are you going to do when all that is gone? Do you know one single thing could occur in your life to take every dime you have, whether it be a little bit or much? Do you understand that anything could happen to the house that you may have, or the car that you drive, or anything? It could all be gone. And then where's your hope? Your hope is all gone. But friend, if you have Jesus, you have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some are living for comfort. I tell you, somebody said, well, you know, I just want to get to the place of my life and I'm going to back off and it's somebody else's turn and I'm just going to sit back and relax and I'm just going to enjoy my life. What you going to do when you get the words that some of our people have already got? Sorry, but you have cancer. You've got some, listen, all that comfort, all that planning you did, all that of what you thought was going to get you where you needed to be, it's going to all be gone. And then what do you have? You don't have anything, but your hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some are living for position. Somebody said, boy, you know, if I could just get this, and if I could have this, if I could accomplish this in life, and if I could have all this, man, what a blessing that would be. But you know what? Jobs are lost every day. Demotions are made. Things happen. Businesses move other places. You find yourself, what are you going to do? What have you got? If that's what you're living for. Friend, our hope is not in comfort. Our hope today is not in money and possessions. It's not in position. But let me ask you something. Are you living for family? Now, I know there's somebody going to jump up and say, preacher, wait a minute now. Don't start messing with my family. I'm not messing with your family. I believe a man ought to love his family. But I tell you, the way you love your family is love the Lord. And when you love the Lord, you'll love your family like you need to love the family. But I'm going to tell you something. If you put your family before the Lord, you're failing to obey the Word of God. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, I got to take care of my family. Well, I'm going to tell you, I found out a long time ago, if I trusted Christ and I worshiped Him and I served Him, that He would take care of my family for me. And I tell you, I learned a long time ago, because you know what? And again, I hate to say it, but what happens? You can lose your family. You can lose everybody perhaps that is surrounding you and your family and things that you have. It could all be gone in a day. And then what are you going to do? I'm telling you today, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. How can we truly be spiritual and live for the Savior? I'm going to give you several things this morning. I've got to move quickly. I've really got a lot. But first of all, recognize God as our Father. I'll tell you today, we are the children of God by faith. We're not only the children of God, but we're the sons of God. And we're not only the sons of God, but we belong to God. And the Bible said in Romans 8:15, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The word adoption in the New Testament means being placed as an adult son. We come into God's family by birth, and the moment we're born into God's family, God adopts us. He gives us a position as if we're an adult son. A baby cannot walk. A baby cannot talk. A baby cannot speak. A baby can't make decisions nor draw on family wealth. But all these privileges are ours the moment we're instantly born again, placed into the family of God. There are two results that follow when we recognize God as our Father. We will love Him and we'll live for Him. Don't tell me that you love your wife if you don't live to please your wife. Don't tell me you love your husband if you don't live to please your husband. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't mean it to be ugly, but don't tell me you love God if you don't show that you love God by the way you live and the things you do. Recognize Him as your Father. Submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. He isn't our Lord if we do not obey Him. Friend, today somebody, they'll pray often. They'll say, oh, my Lord and Savior. That's wonderful. He is. If you're saved, He is your Lord and Savior. But friend, the word Lord means over you. And if He's over you, that means you will obey Him. And you will do what He says do, when He says do it, and how He tells you to do it. We find in the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 6, beginning verse number 46, you don't have to turn there. He said, and why call ye me Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep, laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house, could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that's without a foundation, built his house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. You know what you see? Both of those men called him Lord. But he said, why call me Lord when you do not the things that I say? Both builders referred to him as Lord, but they do not acknowledge his lordship. Jesus questions our disobedience, our disloyalty. And I'm going to tell you something. He'll rebuke us if we fail him in any way. A profession of words is not enough. You can profess him to be your Lord and Savior, but friend, the Bible said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're to yield our members to him. True spirituality is whatever he says we do. You remember what he said, what the disciples said when Jesus asked them to do something? They said, nevertheless, at thy will. Not because we want to, not because we think we're going to get great gain, not because we think we're going to get anything, but nevertheless, at your will, I'll let down my net. And friend, whatever's going on in our life, I can tell you today, it better be according to God's will that we listen and do. Thirdly, becoming what he wants us to be. The Bible says we're an ambassador for Christ, and I'm just going to give you some things. Don't have really time to spend time on them. But ambassador for Christ, representative of Christ. He says we're a shining light. He said, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see his glory in us. I think he tells us to be a living sacrifice, doesn't he? In Romans 12:1, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'm talking about a spiritual man today. I'm talking about a man that has really had a change in his life, and you can tell it by the things that he does. When a man is saved and born again, he becomes a Christian, and he becomes a new man and a new creature in Christ. A Christian should be truthful. I believe today that a Christian ought to tell the truth in everything they do. I think how often people will tell you a lie just as soon as they will look at you. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not being spiritual if you lie to somebody about anything. A Christian should have self-control. A Christian should stand strong in the faith. Well, to say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. A Christian should not take anything that is not rightfully his. And I think we better be careful with that. It's easy to say, well, you know, they'll never know. I don't care if they never know or not. God knows. And a spiritual man will not take anything that belongs to somebody else. A Christian should not grieve the Holy Spirit. If we're saved by the Spirit of God, I think we need to understand that we don't need to grieve the Spirit, but we need to listen and obey the Spirit. A Christian should be peaceable. A Christian should be forgiven. Everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive somebody for. Second of all, and I got to move quickly, true spirituality is loving the Scriptures. We've already got it there, but true spirituality is loving the Scriptures. He said in Psalm 119:97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I want to just say, if you're spiritual, you're going to love this book. I just want to say something today. If you never spend time in this book, if you never, you know, just never have time for it. Now, wait a minute, you got time to watch all the television you can, and you got time to read all your latest magazines because you love them. And the Bible said men love darkness rather than light. But I'm going to tell you something, if you're a spiritual Christian, you'll love this word. Coming to the house of God won't be a chore. You'll look forward to it. You'll say, praise God, it's another opportunity to go and hear what God has to say for me. And I'm just going to tell you real quickly, first of all, it's an inspired word of God. This is not what I say, this is what God said. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is counted profitable. It's a truthful word. He said, sanctify them through the word. Thy word is truth. I tell you one thing, and again, I'm not going to stand here and tell you today I'm not perfect, or tell you that I am perfect, and tell you that there's not been some things that I've said sometime in my life that was not true, because I promise you there are. But I can tell you anything that I tell you straight from this book, you can count on it. It's the truth of the Word of God. And if you have any question about it, you come to me, and I'll show you there's no mistakes. There's nothing in the Bible that contradicts itself. This is God's holy, inspired, truthful word, and the way we're sanctified is through his word. This book is the light. I tell you today, I've mentioned this often, but he said in Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I tell you, without the Word of God to guide me, we go into camp this week and we say, man, praise the Lord, we're going. These kids are excited. Man, we're going to play sports and we're going to win baseball and we're going to win football. We're going to show them, man. We're going up there. We've been fortunate to have some pretty good teams, and these guys ain't half bad. They might do pretty good. But I got news for you, fellas. That ain't what we're going for. We're going for one thing. We're going to have fun while we're there. But we're going to hear preaching. And we're going to hear it in the morning. And we're going to hear it in the evening. We're going to play games in the afternoon. But I tell you today, the games are fun. But that's not going to help anybody. What's going to help somebody is what we hear from the Word of God. The growing Word, studying God's Word, enables us to grow in order that we might understand the truth. Thirdly, true spirituality is lamenting over sin. Lamenting over sin. I mention this often, but I'm telling you, we're living today in a sin-sick society. I tell you, marriage yesterday, we talked about it, is an honorable thing. But it's being dishonored today because people don't feel the need of it anymore. But I'm going to tell you, real spiritual Christians understand the importance of the proper relationship between a man and a woman and a husband and wife. And I'm telling you today, our hearts ought to be broken to see the way America's going. Drugs, immorality, all the things that exist in our society today. I tell you, if you're raising young children, and I'm on up past that. I've got grandchildren I'm concerned about and praying for, and thank God that they're being raised right. But I'm telling you, I shiver to think about what they're going to have to encounter along the way. But there used to be a day when spiritual Christians lamented over sin. You said, lamented? What are you talking about? I'm talking about weeping and crying. You know what the Bible said about Jesus? It said he wept over Jerusalem. He saw them as sheep having no shepherd, and Jesus wept. Friend, I tell you today, the people were stubborn and wicked. They stoned and killed the prophets. Jesus wanted to gather them unto himself, but literally he looked and he was broken for them. Nehemiah's heart was broken over Israel. Jerusalem was wasted and his brethren had been reproached. And the Bible said, Nehemiah 1 verse 4 and 5, he wept, he fasted, and he had a broken heart. I tell you today, we say we want revival. I believe the way we'll see revival is when God's people begin to weep and to beg and to plead and to pray that God would deliver us from the sin that we're living in and return us back to the place we need to be. David's confession of sin in Psalm 51, David, a man, the Bible said, after God's own heart. But the Bible said David sinned, and we know he did with Bathsheba. In Psalm 51, that's him repenting. You ought to read it. But he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I tell you, there's a lot of people, I'd say you're not spiritual if you've lost the joy of your salvation. I tell you what a bad place it is to be. I remember how excited, and I was young when I got saved, and I remember what it meant to me to know that I was saved and going to heaven. I tell you, I know what it really means to me now that I'm a lot older and I'm closer to heaven than I've ever been. But I'm thankful today to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. But I want the joy of the Lord in my heart as I serve Him. His service to the Lord was hindered and brought to a standstill. David confessed his sin. And you know the good news? I talked to a man this week. I invited him to church, and he told me where he went. He said, I go to church. And you know what he said to me? He said, I used to be a youth pastor. But he said, I messed my life up. He said, but I'm back in church. And he said, my pastor's helping me, trying to restore me back to where I need to be. And I said to him, isn't it good that we serve a God that forgives? A God that will take our sin and put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. And yes, we all make mistakes and we do things we ought not to do. But praise God, if you'll come back to Him, He can forgive you of your sin and restore you to the place. Not to say there's not consequences. Not to say that sometimes you may not be put back in the same place you were. But you can still be used of God. You'll confess your sin. Our hearts today need to be broken over sin. This guy, I could hear it in his voice as he shared that with me. He was brokenhearted. He knew he messed up. And I tell you, he's taking a giant step forward just by admitting it. Some people today don't want to admit it. Well, it wasn't my fault. It was somebody else's fault. No, it's your fault, because God gives us the responsibility to control ourselves and our will in what we do. Then fourthly, true spirituality is laboring in service. I tell you, if you want to know if somebody's saved, how willing are they to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? We've got time to do everything there is to do. We've got time to go anywhere we want to go. We've got time to be involved in any activity we want to be involved in. And usually, that'll tell us what we love. But I tell you, if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll want to serve Him. In Exodus 35, when they were outfitting the tabernacle, the Scripture said in verse 21, "And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing." Oh, I tell you today, I'm not here except trying to do one thing. It's to get your heart to stir you up, to understand there's something that needs to be done for Christ. I like what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. He said, "Here am I, send me." Boy, today there's such a need, and the need is great. There's people that need to be involved, and there's so many people. I just think if everybody in the church was actively involved in reaching out and reaching people, listen, I don't know what we'd do. We'd have a problem we'd have to solve. We'd have to try to figure out where we're going to put everybody. But loving people to Jesus, the saved would want to serve, and they ought not just want to serve, they ought to want to serve in any way they can. A heartiness to serve. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Now, understand and listen to what I'm saying. And I don't mean to be rude or crude or and judgmental at all, because I'm not, because I don't know nobody particular mind. But if we're not careful, we'll want to please men. We want their approval, when really what we need is God's approval. And yet we get to that point in our life to where the Bible said, whatever we do, we ought to do it with all our heart and all our soul and all our might. You know, I've seen some people that can't carry a tune in a bucket. I'm one of them pretty much like that. But I'm talking about some really, really can't carry a tune. And I tell you what, sometimes when the song service is going on, I'm not thinking about nobody here now, so don't try to think I am. I'm thinking somewhere else, I know. But when the song service is going on, you look back there, and they got that mouth wide open, and they hollering, and they sing as loud as they can. And you said, and I've had people tell me, say, "I wish he wouldn't sing so loud." They say, "Let her rip, buddy. If it's coming from your heart and you love Jesus, you just go ahead." Because you see, tune don't matter to God. He just wants to see someone make a joyful noise. I know Justin's back there cringing now. He's thinking, I'm telling the choir, y'all just let her rip. But I think it's a time for trying to procure and get ourselves where we need to be. But I'm talking about doing it heartily. And I tell you, those people I've seen do that, they're so happy. They're just happy. Happy in Jesus and what He's done. Then a surrender to service. We should unselfishly surrender our time, our talent, our tithe, our talk, everything we have to the Lord, submitting ourselves to God, yielding ourselves to God, if we're going to be the spiritual person that we need to be. Friend, today, I venture to say, I don't know, but I hope today, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I beg you today, don't leave here without letting somebody take the Bible. Do you know that somebody can take the Bible in just a few minutes and show you what the Word of God says you have to do to go to heaven? And you can walk out of here today and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved and going to heaven. And I'm convinced that the majority of the people in this building today have already been saved. And that's a wonderful thing. But there's some of you that are sitting here today and you've got sin in your life and it's been there for a long time. And you've not confessed it in a long time. And you've not dealt with it in a long time. And you've not repented of it in a long time. And you've not felt sorry for about it in a long time. And I'm telling you today, the people that he was trying to tell in the book of Corinthians, in the church of Corinth, he was telling them, listen, you got to make sure that your sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ, that you get forgiveness of your sin in order that you might serve him and be obedient to him. And then lastly, true spirituality is learning in our situation. Learning in affliction. I would venture to say some of you that's gone through affliction have learned some things along the way. I have learned much in my life. But the majority of what I've learned, sometimes I've learned it from circumstances that were not good. Sometimes I've learned from people that was not doing right. Not that I learned not to do right by what they were doing, but I learned to do right because of the way they were not doing right. You know what I'm talking about? And here, the matter of affliction, you know, somebody said, I don't understand why God allows affliction. I don't know either. I don't understand, but He has a reason and a purpose for everything. And many times it teaches us what we know. George Failing said, when God would make a pearl, He allows a grain of sand to hurt the oyster. When God would make a saint, He buries a sorrow in the life. Sometimes God has to use afflictions to get us to the spiritual place we need to be. Learning in weakness. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he said, Lord, I sure would pray that You'd remove this thorn in the flesh. But you know, he said, Lord, I prayed thrice. You didn't do it. But he said, You did say, my grace is sufficient for thee. Learning in sickness. Why? You remember in John chapter 9, verse 2, why was the man blind? They said, is it because of his sin? Is it because of his parents? But Jesus told them it was neither. That it was so that the works of God might be manifest in him. I don't want to be blind. I don't want to be crippled. I don't want to be deaf. But friend, our desire as a child of God is to God be the glory. In whatever path You choose for me, Lord, I'm going to learn from it. There's no use in complaining. There's no use in whining. There's no use. Why don't you just take it and learn what God has for you? Learning in fear. You remember Elijah, he ran from Jezebel after his victory at Mount Carmel. The Lord caused him to rest, and He fed him on his journey and gave him everything he needed. And he learned in that circumstance, in that situation, that he could trust God. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe just with the answer to prayer Brother Ronald got this week, I believe, Ronald, you could say you've even probably more so learned to trust God, or that you can trust God. I know you trust Him all the time. But every time God does something, it just puts a stamp of approval. I am with thee. I'm with you in the valley, and I'm with you on the mountain, and I'm going to be with you all the time. And whatever it is, we need to learn. I'll have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me. Then learning in failure. Well, you knew I'd have to bring him up. Oh, Peter. Oh, Peter was pretty good about putting his foot in his mouth. Peter denied the Lord, but as he stood, today we see Peter as a monument of grace. We see Peter as a man whose God's grace was bestowed upon him. He was forgiven. He was used and preached one of the greatest messages on the day of Pentecost that's ever been preached. And yet God did it for him because He asked him to. We often quote it. But we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. So what is true spirituality? Many are putting on a show. They're good actors. You see fakes and frauds every day. But true spirituality, listen to me, is living for the Savior, loving the Scripture, lamenting over sin, laboring in service, and learning in situations. I wonder today, are we for real? I'm here today not to judge. I told you I can't do that. I don't want to do that. Thank God that's not my lot to do that. But I tell you what, today it is your lot to ask God, am I for real? Can God call you spiritual this morning? Again, I'm not talking about some, you know, super saint, knows 50 or 100, 200 Bible verses. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about somebody that loves the Lord, loves the Scripture, laments over sin, labors for the things of God, and learns in every situation that comes their way. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to preach. And Lord, I pray that You'd bless the message. Pray that You'd use it apply it to our hearts and lives. And Father, today I pray if there be one here that's lost, Lord, help them today to come to Christ. Help them today to come and let us show them from the Bible how they can know they're saved. But Lord, believing that the majority of people here are saved on their way to heaven, Lord, help us today to examine ourselves. Are we for real? And if we're not, there's only one thing we have to do, is confess our sin, for you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.